And it is time for Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems. 7:47 is our time, our temperature at 48 degrees. We are joined today by USD 273 Superintendent Jeff Travis. He is with us. And Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, Wade. You?
Well, not bad, not bad. Certainly, we are facing unprecedented times, and I wanted to have you on, and I appreciate you joining us for this time to share with our audience kind of the school perspective. Tomorrow, we'll talk with City Manager of Beloit, Jason Raby. Thursday, we'll have a representative from Smith County Memorial Hospital, and then Friday, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems, and then Monday, we've got special guests coming in to talk about a really great idea project to help area businesses. But we start with you today, and I guess we'll just start with how quickly all this came about. I mean, it was kind of a domino effect, and eventually it caught up to where Governor Kelly decided to, along with her healthcare professionals, to close the schools, not necessarily close school completely, obviously. We'll get to that in a moment. But just take us through kind of the ebbs and the flows of how this happened, how quickly, and when you really think about it, has it really set in that no classes at the schools in the state of Kansas?
Yeah, it really was quick. But when you look back at it, it feels like it's been months.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a month ago
Yeah.
that we were all talking about state basketball being canceled on March. What day was that? March
11th.
11th. So that was less than 2 weeks ago when you think about it. And it feels like it's really been a lot longer than that. Then March 17th, the governor came out, and she made her announcement that schools were closing until May 29th. There was a lot of, I don't know, misnomers or people just thought that meant everything was closing mm-hmm. at that point, and that is not really what she said nor what she meant. At that time, she closed the schools as we know it for the person-to-person instruction as we have it right now, or have had it in the past, I should say. But there was exceptions to her executive order, and in that executive order, she expected continuous learning from the school for the students. She gave us the leeway to have 10 or fewer students with an instructor. She gave the Commissioner of Education in that executive order time to formulate guidance for school districts and create a continuous plan, a learning plan that we could all work with as well. So they went out and put a team together from KSDE and some other school districts and tried to put some guidance together for us as well. So as we put our plan together for our students to have that continuous learning, we had some guidance at least to look at that time. And I have to admit that KSDE has been a great help in this, and that they've given us great support during this time.
Jeff Travis, Superintendent USD 273, he is with us today on Community Matters. You know, it is something that we've really never gone through, at least not in my lifetime, and hopefully this is the only time we go through it. And certainly some kids probably rejoiced, as I think my oldest, hey, no school. And I said, listen, buddy, you're still going to have to do some things at home. And then there's other kids that really love going to school, and there's so many different people that are affected by this in regards to, I know we've been announcing meals. A lot of people, when they think school being closed, the first thing you think about is education, but there are kids that rely on meals from the schools, that interaction. Some have better home lives than others. I mean, there's so many variables for so many different individuals affected by the school closing, in specifics for your district, right?
Absolutely. And that was one of the first things we looked at when that happened. Is that was one of the worries, is how are these kids going to eat and how are these kids going to get food during this time. We worked with KSD at that time and produced a waiver so that we could feed the kids and students throughout our district. And what we did is we set up a grab-and-go waiver is what we were eligible for. So we got that paperwork done, got it worked, and got it okayed, approved with the State Department. And then we started that last week. We did it on Tuesday and Thursday last week, and we provided grab-and-go lunch. We had to do it like a curbside or a drop-off point. We had drop-offs in Jewell. We had drop-off at the square in Jewell, the square in Glen Elder, then the post office in Simpson. Then at the junior senior high school here in Beloit, you could come curbside and get those. and you'd get a grab-and-go lunch for Tuesday, a breakfast for Wednesday, and a grab-and-go lunch for the next day. And then on Thursday, that happened again, and you'd get two breakfasts and two lunches there. Spring break, we don't qualify for that waiver, unfortunately, because that was the week we were going to be off anyway, which is this week. So then next week we will start back, and it'll be a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to where they'll get two meals on Monday, the two breakfasts on Monday. Wednesday they'll get two again, and then Friday they'll just get the Friday lunch and breakfast at that time.
And Summer Kids Cafe is filling the gap this week from noon to 12:30 all week long for all kids. They are having meals for pickup at the Zion Lutheran Church at the back of the church at 621 North Mill until you guys resume that next week. Jeff Travis, USD 273 Superintendent of Beloit Schools, is with us. Okay, so in regards to your staff and everybody that works for the school, whether it's hourly or salaried, I hear this. I get questions about this. I'm like, I think I know the answer, but it's better for you to speak upon it. Is everybody still getting paid? How are they affected financially for those that work in the schools?
Well, that's a great question. And we have, and this is going to sound like a large number, but we have 261 regular employees in the district for our district, USD 273. When I say that, keep in mind that we serve 5 districts for special ed, 6 districts for early childhood, plus we have the Early Learning Center daycare as well. So all of those employees are our employees. And each employee is affected just a little differently as well. So I want to make sure I throw that out there. Again, we applied for a waiver on this. The state aid, we have to have a board meeting to approve this yet for the waiver, but that'll be coming. The waiver work is done now. And basically, they're going to pay our employees through the state what their contracts say they would have for their hourly or their salary and their benefits during this time. That'll run through June 30th. At that point, I don't know what happens, but that waiver will get us through June 30th to keep our employees there going. But then I say this, each employee is different because our daycare is not considered under that waiver. So if those employees don't work, they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. So that's a very tough situation for them, plus their insurance and their benefits are affected by that. So we are working very hard with that. Right now our daycare is open. We're working with the County Health Department and KDHE to keep that open. Right now it's one of the exempted entities under the governor's executive order, and they've encouraged us to keep that open to help people during this time. Of course, the number of kids going to the daycare are limited right now from where they were. We are not charging for those kiddos that are not there at this point in time because it's just not that we can't do that during this time, but we are supplying that. But with that said, it doesn't take as much staff to man it with less kids, so then we still have some workers displaced there.
All right, so I think the biggest question I'll ask you during this time, and we're talking to Jeff Travis, Superintendent, USD 273 Beloit School District, is going forward now. What is the plan? What have you been told as a superintendent, head of your district, as to how you go forward and still providing education for our youth? And, of course, obviously they're going to have to do this at home. And then, of course, some people have more challenges than others in regards to getting online and so forth and so on. So as of now, what's the plan with all that, with the continuing education learning plan?
There will be a lot of online learning that will be offered. And you hit it. There's some people that they don't have that connectivity in their homes. Cunningham Cable is working with us right now and NCKCN to help get that with the Planning Commission. To get that connectivity, we also have some help through Nextech Wireless. If for some reason they can't, maybe we can get a hotspot into those areas for those people to help get that connectivity to them. So great partners there and stepping up and helping us get to our students and be able to keep those relationships going with our students. Different learning plans at the elementary. The elementary looks different from the junior, senior high is what I'll say. The elementary looks more online, more resources online. Teachers will meet with students. They'll through Zoom, through Google Classroom. They'll do a lot of interfacing that way through those types of things. Class and Dojo is another one that they'll use, and then they'll use some Scholastic at home, that sort of thing, eSpark, Mobi Max. With that, the high school will do some of that as well. The high school's actually set up some meeting times where the teachers will have some office hours to where if a student needs help with a class, that they can meet in very, very small numbers with that instructor during that office time. So there is just a little bit more of that face-to-face there that is allowed with everything to help those students keep going. Please understand, this is not the awesome, great education that our kids are used to receiving. It's going to still be quality. Everything we give them, our teachers are going to give quality. It's just not that face-to-face instruction. We base our education at Beloit at USD 273 off of relationships and relevance being our two goals, and when you lose that face-to-face, relationships get really tough sometimes. And the other piece that I think that's going to hurt is the mental health aspect. Yes. The relationship building is huge with mental health. I'm very proud of our staff, our students, for what they've accomplished there. In fact, they are leading the school redesign in Kansas with those pieces. And I do worry about that mental health piece being lost. It's just a tough piece.
Yeah, that's an excellent point you bring up. And it's not only on students, but, you know, for adults, as you talk about, you know, you had daycare, now you don't have maybe daycare, or you have your job, but now you're laid off, or it's a furlough, or whatever the case may be. It's a tough time for a lot of people, whether it be the kids or adults. And then for the adults going through a tough time trying to, you know, help those young people, you make a great, great point. What about the, because my son the other day says, okay, so this plan, does that mean we're studying from 8 to 3? And I said, no. And there's somebody else that put on social media, you know, not having information. Well, we only have two computers. I have 4 kids. How in the world are they going to get this done? Well, you're going to take turns. We're talking, what, 30, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, something like that for the students to do this work per day?
Yes, and the key words that we're living by right now is flexibility and change.
Yes.
We have to be more flexible than ever, and we have to understand that it's going to continually change on us. It's just how it is. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, how much change have we seen in our lives and the guidance that we've received? Because, for one, they learn more about what we're dealing with. Things have to change with that. I will tell you that the guidelines that the Educational Task Force set out was that pre-K, and this is just guideline. It doesn't mean it's going to fit this perfectly. But the guidelines are pre-K is a 30-minute session, you know, and they're saying online here.
Mm-hmm.
Grades K through 1, 45 minutes. Grades 2nd and 3rd, 60 minutes. Grades 4 through 5, 90 minutes. They outline on grades 6 through 12, 30 minutes for teacher, 3 hours max in a day.
Okay.
So that's their guidelines. You're going to see maybe a little bit, a pinch more some places, a pinch less some places. But we're going to try to get that, we're going to try to do what we do and make it quality, though. So.
Well, I can only speak from my household. My oldest has already said he's bored, and I think he needs 3 hours filled with education myself. And I think that probably applies to a lot of people out there, don't you?
Yeah, I have a daughter that is at home right now that could use that really well. I hate to say this as a benefit, but our spring break was later than most districts in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So where we went on a week, when Governor cut this a week earlier, then we came on the spring break. So we have another week to work through this
mm-hmm.
and start. But you'll see some things start up next week as well. But yeah, you're right, and I'm really proud of our students and our staff. You see the interactions going through Twitter. You see the Facebook posts
mm-hmm.
already. I'm not much of a Facebooker, and I've watched Facebook more in the last week than I have probably for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you see those interactions going back and forth. You know, the Kids Cafe, when we stepped up and helped them with our waiver, we helped each other, however you want to say that. You know, I sent out an email throughout my district and said, hey, we need some help with getting this going for the kids to eat. And I had 30 responses within less than 30 minutes come in from our teachers and staff. So they really have stepped up, as always, and helped out and where they need to and in times of need. And they, I'm just saying I'm very proud, and I think we should all be very proud of our students and staff for what they've done.
Absolutely. All right, Jeff, anything else you want to add before we let you go? We once again appreciate the time to talk about the situation and how the schools and the district being impacted by all of this.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody for understanding. Thank you for everybody's flexibility, the support that we're getting from all kinds of areas, from the county health department, from the hospital, from NCK Tech to the city, just everybody. And I'm missing people, and I'm sorry if I'm missing people. KSD is another one. We've just had great support from people, and I think everybody, all the patrons have been understanding and flexible with this, and please keep it up. I know that it'll probably get worse before it gets better, but just stay with us, and we're going to do our best for you. So,
well, Jeff, we appreciate the time, and I know that you've had lots of web calls or web conferences or whatever you want to say, and I'm sure there's going to be more to come, and we appreciate everything that you guys do for our young people out there.
Well, thank you, Wade.
Jeff Travis, Superintendent USD 273 Beloit, our guest today on Community Matters.